And we thank you today, Lord, that what you desire to happen, and Lord, what you have for us, Lord, will be what we receive. Lord, let your word will be declared. Father, let your spirit be received, Lord, and Lord, your power, let it be released. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been, for those of you who know or don't know, I've been on a little journey. I had a whole bunch of stuff all in a very short period of time, and I thought it was crazy because all my schedule came down to where I was going to be in St. Louis with what is known as the Justice House of Prayer National Leadership, which is basically Lou Engle and some of his leaders. And I was there. It was a four-day meeting, but I only got to go a few days. And Greg went with me, and Chris and Ian, a few people went with me. And that was in St. Louis last week. The dates escape me right now, but it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I had to leave to take off on Sunday because I was going to U.S. House of Prayer Leadership School, which is another group of people in California. And both of those were really just talking about what is the House of Prayer? What's going on in the House of Prayer? What is God doing in the earth? Why are we even, you know, talking about a House of Prayer? And I just thought I'd schedule too many things together, but it really wasn't that at all. It was really the Lord wanting me to get it pressed on my heart in a very clear way what he desires to do, what he is doing, and what the future is going to look like, both for the church in America and for the people who are going after God in the various ways they are, and some cases in the ways they aren't. And so I got blessed to have the man, the myth, the legend, Rod Neller with me on this on this trip. And he went with me to California, and he was with several other, there was about 20 leaders, 20, 25 worship leaders and prayer room leaders. And so Rod was with me, and I asked Rod, you know, I know God was speaking to you. Would you take a few minutes to share some of the highlights, some of the things that you saw, heard, and felt, and maybe even how it might relate to us? So he has full license in at least 30 seconds to do all that.
Yeah, well, just don't go far. Be ready to grab the mic from me. I'll try to leave out as much superfluous information as possible. You know, stuff like Kirk Bennett eating peanut butter and certain people that snore really loudly, and I won't get into all that, but and the one thing is, you know, if you go to altitude 7,450 feet, just remember it, hiking is a little different up there. And Scott and I both found that out pretty quick. Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, we were really blessed to be in what I consider one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I just felt humbled, and it was just glorious to be up high and to see the beauty of God from a different perspective, really. But, you know, Kirk Bennett, how many of you were here when Kirk was here? Was it like 6 weeks ago or something? 4 weeks ago? Okay. He's one of those guys that scares me a little bit, because he doesn't say a whole lot in person, but when he does say things, it's usually pretty weighty, pretty powerful. And when he and Scott were up here and he was talking about the conference, and he kind of corrected Scott a little bit, right then the Holy Spirit said, "You're going to go." And I was like, no, that's my voice, or that's the enemy's voice. That's not God's voice, you know? And I was thinking, Ian needs to go. Wait a minute, he's leaving anyway. No, he probably, Sharon, send Sharon. That's the one, Lord. Sharon needs to go. And then when we left and got home, my wife said, "Hey, you're supposed to go to that. You need to go." And I told her, I said, "Well, just be quiet about that, you know." And I said, "If that's the Lord, then it'll be confirmed." And it was a couple other times. So I knew I was supposed to go, but then I thought, you know, this is good. All these really important people are going to be there, and I can just kick back and kind of soak a little bit and watch what's going on, you know. But I got there, and then the first night, Davis Hill. He's kind of directing the worship. He said, "Hey, I want you to do worship tomorrow." I was like, "No, God, no!" So I was smiling at him, going, "Sure." So you know, he. But what that did was that kind of put me up, and it allowed some of these people that we are running with as a house of prayer, it allowed them to see into my soul a little bit. And then on the last morning, we all prayed for each other and really spoke what we felt like the Lord was telling each of us about the others. And go. And there were some things that were prayed over me and said to me that were just very crucial and very important. And so that was one level. And I think the other level was, well, it meant multiple levels, but my understanding of what House of Prayer is all about, I just understood in a way that I've never really understood it. And without going into Kirk's message, just the fact that Jesus himself twice went in to the temple and announced in a very certain manner, flipping the tables over, you know, my house should be called a house of prayer. I'm not going to go. But really, what does that mean? And I began to understand it. And it's given me a vision for what God wants us to do here in Springfield. Because we all know it's been transitional here lately. You know, we've kind of been sort of hovering in an area, getting ready for the next launch. And, you know, that's beginning to come together. And, you know, I think I'll just stop and let you do the rest. Yeah. But anyway, I did want to say thank you all for sending me. I've humbled and blessed, and I'm not sure, you know, really what all God's doing in me, but I know I was supposed to be there. So.
Yeah. And yeah, Rod really brought the Holy Spirit when he led worship too, just FYI. I mean, it was powerful. It was good. And I wasn't surprised, but I was thankful. Didn't know what to expect. And, you know, this is what I'm going to talk about today is, if you want, you can turn to Isaiah 56. We're going to get there eventually. You can, feel free to look up those passages that Rod just spoke about. I got them here, so I'll just put them on my. In Matthew 21, Mark 11, or Luke 19, I'll tell you the first one. Matthew 21:13 is when Jesus actually came into the temple. And it says, "My house should be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." My house shall be called a house of prayer. I guess the first thing is understanding that's what we were established as, that what we were founded as. That was really the reason why we're here, is to be a house of prayer. And over the last year or so, I've had this stirring in my heart, this unsettledness, and I don't like to make my personal feelings always God, and I certainly don't like to just be so open with everything that I feel that I try to mean that, you know, everybody ought to feel what I'm feeling. So I just been in this place of going, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? And as these two events and the days leading up to them opened up, I said, God, what about my heart? Am I, you know, God, I know I've got sin in my life, so let's just say I'm going to repent of that. Now, God, why am I bugged? Okay? I know I've not, I mean, outside of the fact that I'm not living perfectly, and I want to, and I'm going to be stretching to the place of receiving forgiveness for any known sin, okay? Because sometimes that's just what we got to do first. And so I spent time doing that, to going, God, what am I feeling? And why am I feeling unrest in my heart? And this has gone on for a while. And I actually, before I left, I felt like I heard the Lord say to me, it's because you've been living like a settler and you're called to be a pioneer. And so I basically said, I don't think that's the Lord. Is it, honey? My wife. You know, I mean, really, I'm like, okay, I don't even know if that was you, Lord. So, and Kelly said, oh, well, you know, we'll see. And so I'm just carrying that around for a few days, thinking, well, what does that mean exactly? And I start analyzing, if you will, in prayer, what is a house of prayer? And what is the difference? And for most of you, you all got a story just like I do, but it goes something like this. In our church life, over the past however many years, we've been in more than one, if you will, expression of Christianity. And those expressions of Christianity, though they had certain blessings and things connected to them, we've known there was something else, something more, something other than what we'd experienced that God has as an expression of His bride in the earth. Okay, some of you have gone to different churches looking for something that was more relational, something that was less religious, less routine. Others of you have gone to and established home churches where you could actually function as a family. Still others, I'm looking for the manifestation of the Spirit's power with things like healing and transparency and forgiveness and other things. But all of us have been on a similar journey saying, God, isn't there something else other than the way we see this nation, this culture do church, right? Okay, so we share this in common. And if you don't share that, God bless you, you know. But I'm going to say most of us share that. And so there's times where I know people have gotten exasperated and said, I'm just going to have church, me and Jesus in the trees, you know. Some people just say, hey, it's a lot easier to do it that way. And I know people that said, I'm no longer going to be in all that stuff. I'm going to be out here in the trees. But Jesus didn't tell us to go in the trees. He said, go into all nations, not into all trees. So there's a place where the relationship that we have with Jesus is also called for us to be, if you will, a model or a beacon or an expression of who Jesus is to people. So we have to have the relationship dynamic intact. Jesus goes into the temple. I gave you the three references where he went into, and that's what, so you can look them up. Matthew 21:13 is one of them. He goes in Mark 11:17, and he also goes in Luke 19:46. But he makes the same declaration, and if you look at that, you actually find out that he went in, as Rod said, turned the tables over, said, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. He goes back out of the city, and the next day he comes back in. They set all their junk up again, and he flips the tables and says, really? I mean this. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer, not this marketplace that you're turning it into. Okay, he was zealous. He wasn't having a fit of anger. He wasn't just kind of ticked off. He wasn't doing this for show. Okay, he was doing this because he had passion. He had zeal for his Father's name and his Father's house. Okay, he got that because he was the Word, the living Word. And Isaiah 56 talks about, that's why I said we'll eventually get there, talks about the house of prayer, God's proclamation that his expression in the earth was going to be a house of prayer. And so what I have found, and again, some of these are just anecdotal analyses, okay, my personal observation. I don't necessarily have statistics, but there's probably some statistics we can find. And that is that if we don't press forward, we will default back to some former place of comfort, okay? And I feel like that's what the Lord is saying we've been doing, okay? And so I say we because I'm one of the leaders, and so it's not like you guys are screwing something up and I need to fix it. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if we are to actually advance into the expression, you know, with one of the manifestations, like I said earlier, of healing prayer, then we have to be willing to recognize that we always will default, will revert back to something else that we were comfortable with because we're not sure what to do next. It's like, well, I'm not really sure to do. What are you going to do? Well, I'll just go back this year and this thing that I've done, I'll do. And that's easy. That's just natural progression of human nature, I think, or a regression of human nature and that thing. So my thing is, and I'm saying this just as humbly as I can, I can't do that. Okay? I don't know what that's going to look like in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. I'm not going to try to rush to make something happen in my flesh, but I am resolute that I'm not going to revert back to the American church paradigm that's been tweaked a little bit just for comfort's sake, so everybody can say, well, we're hanging out together. And that's where I feel like we're in danger of going to, because eventually, a year or two or three or four or 5 years, we're all going to be sick of it. Okay? Eventually, at some point in time, we're going to go, wait a minute, this is just like that other thing that made me not want to do it back then. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to head that sucker off at the pass right now. And so this sounds maybe a little brash, and I'm not trying to be that. I'm just saying, what did Jesus mean when he said, my house will be a house of prayer? I don't think he was talking about getting it on your sign. Okay? I don't think that was the intention. And because ultimately, I believe, you know, it doesn't take a prophet to see that the nations are beginning to rage against the Lord. That the signs of the times are creation groaning, the sinfulness of man reaching an apex, the rage of the Antichrist spirit in the earth causing hatred beyond what we've seen ever in the history of man, and ultimately the kingdom of God coming into the situation with, as it says, darkness covers the earth, deep darkness is people, but there's something else that happens right after that. A great shining light. And I believe that's what we're, if you will, on the verge of. And I believe if we're not a house of prayer, not in name, but in essence, in manifestation, then we won't be his house. And that's not what I want. I'm not standing in judgment of the church. I love the bride of Christ. And I'm not standing saying, well, they're not going to do it right. But all I know is that if we get revelation that the way to do it is differently than we've done it in the past and we don't do it, we're accountable for that before the Lord. And tweaking a former model to make it a little bit more palatable and not really getting to the heart of what does God desire on the earth, I don't think that's wisdom. And so I'm going to speak just a couple things, and you know, I'm going to be open for conversations. We're going to talk. I want input. What I'd like to do in somewhere in the very near future is just to say we want to have a vision casting conversation with anybody who's interested in pursuing what is a house of prayer and what it is that God's calling us to do specifically. And that way you'll know that we'll give an open door opportunity to anybody that says, I want to hear more, learn more, find out more. But my first thing is going to be, I just think we need to return to the biblical expression of what's revealed to the degree that we can discover it in the book of Acts. Because what was Paul planting? This guy is the Apostle Paul, and he's going to all these cities, all these places. What were the apostles doing when they were tarrying in Jerusalem? What was the expression that was causing thousands to be saved and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What was going on in those places that the New Testament church was so cohesive, so connected, and so influential that the modern church is missing? And I'm going to ask, I'm going to invite you. You know, I got some smart people in here. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be things that you'll discover about what it's supposed to look like that you can bring to the table that will enhance the overall picture. And I want to challenge you. Would you do that? Would you read your Bible and tell me what you find? Because I want to be able to say, God, we're obedient to the best possible way that we can be with stewarding something that we've never done before. You know, I've said all along, we're building a ship at sea. And we've been doing that for a while. And the first wave of builders, if you will, were a bunch of fiery, young intercessors from all over the nations. And most of you don't even realize that initially we had young people from Michigan and Florida and New York and California, people from Texas and really just throughout the nations who came here saying, they met me in one form or fashion, said, we want to come help build a house of prayer. And we established a night and day prayer meeting where there were every day someone was praying in the house of prayer, and multiple nights a week we were contending for God's presence in our city. But as each of those went to the next place, there's a whole whole new group, and God's speaking to my heart in the midst of it. I want you to do the house of prayer in a context of a family, and me not having any idea what that means. Just now, trying to determine, this is what it means. It means that we as mothers and fathers are going to walk out what Malachi 4 says. Now, some of this is prophetic history, and it's going to tie in. And usually the picture doesn't unfold in the moment that you get it. It unfolds over years. And this has been unfolding over years. But the night in September where Lou Engel grabbed a hold of me and said, God, give him a dream. He said something else to me. He said, Spirit of Elijah, come upon him. Okay? Well, I didn't know what that meant. But you can turn to Malachi 4 and I'll show you what it says. Malachi, that's the last book of the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew and take a left, you'll be right there where you need to be. And this is talking about the day of the Lord, the end times, God's purposes in the earth being fully realized. And I think it's really clear that we need to, I just want to speak what I believe we are in the last days. Okay, so when they're going to be here, and all of you, even if you don't theologically believe that, I will say it this way, you're in your last days. Okay, because those of you who are 30-something, 20-something, you have but a vapor, and then you're gone. And those of you who are 50 or 60, you're even gone a little quicker. Okay, and so the idea that we've got a lot of time to do whatever, that's really a fallacy. And again, I love it when people that have hair the same color as mine nod their head and go, yeah, really, we didn't say that word. It's really fast that it all goes. And wasting time is not a good idea. But this is what Malachi 4 in verse 5 says, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, somebody prophesies over me, a national leader prophesies over me, Spirit of Elijah come, be upon him. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? It means that I will be part of, I will be a father, and I will be part of witnessing and encouraging the hearts of the fathers to turn to the children, and the hearts of the children to turn to the father. The generation that's in the earth, there is a generation in the earth when Jesus comes who is wholeheartedly devoted, without spot or wrinkle, to their bridegroom, king, and judge. And I believe we have opportunity. I believe we are living in the day where we can witness some of the greatest demonstrations of the glory of God ever to be seen in the earth. If we don't get to see it, we're equipping our sons and daughters to see what is the greatest, one of the greatest demonstrations of God's love and power and glory ever to be seen in the earth. The greatest generation, the final generation who live in faith in the midst of intense persecution, intense opposition, who live totally and completely with their eyes focused on Jesus and believing and contending. And at the end of the age, it's described this way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God, and the bride together in unity are saying something. Come. They understand that this is what it's about. The invitation to Jesus from a spotless bride who is perfectly in harmony with the Holy Spirit, saying together, man and God in complete agreement, and not man, a man, but bride. Anytime you see bride in Scripture, we're not talking about a person who says, oh, I'm Jesus' bride and he loves me and I love him. We're talking about it's a corporate expression, a unified body of people in the earth who know their identity as the one the Lord loves and the one who totally loves the Lord in the earth, agreeing perfectly with the Spirit of the living God, saying, Jesus, we're ready, come. And so the house of prayer really is the vehicle, not my vehicle. I'm discovering it's God's vehicle. It's God's expression for how he's going to prepare the earth. And what it is what I'm saying, I don't know. But I'm no longer going to say, well, it's this kind of modified model of American church Christianity. We're going to discover it together. I imagine somebody will get mad and say, this is not what I want, and leave. Or, you know, and then you have to get mad to leave. Just say, see you, Ian. No, he was teasing me over there. I just called him out on it. But the reality of it is, I believe God connects people and puts people together for a reason. Okay? And what I'm discovering, and I'll share a couple of these things, because I'm more just tell you, I'm stirred up, and I'm going to stay stirred up, because I've spent a year trying to figure out what it is, God, and I've had an epiphany. I'm excited about it, but I know there'll be a cost. I know there'll be a sacrifice. I know there'll be a shift. I know there'll be something different than what I've experienced, and I'm okay with that, because I know what'll happen if I settle in. You know, you get a little foggy. You get a little complacent. Sitting is easier than running. There's no question about it. Okay. But you know what happens when I sit? I get fat. You're a little loud on that one over there. That's good. That's all right. One of the funniest people in the universe, Mike and McDonald. Or Akin Pedide. How about that? Did I do that good? Okay. this is what I know, that the house of prayer, just a couple things real quick, it is about relationship, okay? And we are not going to try to be an organization per se, but going to find out what it is to be a living organism that is a house of prayer. And when I say it's about relationship, what I mean is God has given us two scriptural ways to relate to Him. Two. Prayer and worship. And so relationship with God is going to be prayer and worship in an ongoing way that doesn't necessarily have to look like the way somebody else did it. But we're going to be really cultivating a culture that prays and worships. And encouraging and training why is got to be there, but also what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And so if we're going to relate to God in the house of prayer, we have to understand that it's because He wants to relate to us, not because we're trying to perform. Now, I want to say for all of our worship leaders, you guys have done an excellent job. Everybody that has led worship one time or another up here has experienced challenges. But I'm going to say we have seen, by and large, one of the most free expressions of altar and worship as opposed to platform and performance of any place. And that's one of the things that I love about the movement that we're in, is that the church, by and large, has taken the altar out and put in a platform, and worship leading is now performing. And that's something that we resist, and something that we don't, you know, say, hey, we got it better than you, you know, none of that stuff. But we just recognize that if we do it the way God prescribed, then God will show up and it'll be attractive and His presence will be there. And so we don't want to get in the place where we have the up here and the out there, those that are doing it and those that are observing it. Okay. We're doing it together. We're worshiping together. We're praying together, and your prayers and your worship matters. Now, I know when we talk about a house of prayer, one of the expressions, you know, beyond relationship, is that it's a night and day reality. It's a night and day reality that there is a place in the earth where God can meet with people anytime. And that's one of the fundamental foundational things that the houses of prayer are realizing, that in our culture, back in the day, some of you remember the days where you could go to any church in the town at any time and the doors were always unlocked. You can't do that anymore. Too much crime, too many people not being there. Any door you go to, they're locked. You can't get into the building. Remember that when you were a kid? I do. What town were you raised in? Auburn? Doesn't matter what church. The doors are unlocked. Why? Because the idea that anybody would come in and do something bad in the building was unheard of, especially in Auburn or Riverton or Williamsville or any of the little towns that we raised up. But secondly, because we believe that there was something called holy that people believed God was, and to go inside that building meant that we could meet with the Holy One and you just behaved yourself in there. Okay? You can't do that anymore. Because of the day that we live in, people lock the doors in case somebody comes in who wants to rob, steal, or destroy, or whatever they want to do. But a house of prayer is open, the presence of God is there, and people are tending the altar. The modern day priesthood is being restored, those who worship the Lord in the place of encounter with God. And I believe that's one of the things that we're going to be establishing. How to do that, I don't know, but we got to start somewhere. Now, I've already met with the worship team before I left, and they've agreed, and we are be facilitating in the very near future, Wednesday, all day long, a day of encounter. Different worship leaders and prayer leaders coming in and owning at least an hour, so that as we're praying and worshiping, it's like taking Joel Scarborough, taking his personal private time. Everybody knows it must be good, right? Because he's awesome. Okay. And he brings it in here, and he's not a musician. So what he does is I know he's a ping pong player for sure, but I don't know how you can worship the Lord with that. But he puts on the CD music that he likes that he's worshiping with. And from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning, Joel is attending the house of prayer as a priest and making it a place where people can encounter. And at 7:55, Rod comes in and plugs in his guitar. And he and Jacqueline and their children worship together because they worship as a family. And they come in and they spend their hour worshiping. Okay. And just about an hour later, Larry comes in because he has scheduled an hour to be with God publicly so that he can help others meet with God. And he comes in and he puts the music that he likes on. And just about an hour later, Ian walks in the door. And Ian says, now I'm going to take my hour and I'm going to play and sing to the Lord. Now, I'm saying it this way because that's what it's going to take. Okay. Somebody else isn't going to take your 1 hour. But if those our worship leaders and our prayer leaders are going to begin to facilitate an hour so that anybody who wants to encounter God can do that. Now, one of the questions that I know comes up, and this is the one that I struggled with at first, was that we can all pray at home by ourselves. Okay, even if we're really disciplined, I'm going to say we're all really disciplined, we do that. Now, I know the truth, we're all not, and we probably won't, but I'm just giving us all the benefit of the doubt. But there's a promise that I want to bring out, and that is you can meet with God personally on your personal time. Business and life happens, though, and sometimes it's difficult. But there's a promise from Jesus. He says, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be with them. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? There's a manifest presence. There's an invitation from Jesus. Just gather with one or two other people. I'll be there. Okay. Now I know the Holy Spirit is with us because he's in us. But I believe this is a promise from Jesus that I want you to have people to be praying with together. I can talk to husbands and wives. Kelly and I have experienced it. I pray separately, but I can tell you it's not the same as when I pray with my wife. And why? Well, two of us are gathered in his name, and there's something else beyond what happens. There are, if you will, different levels, manifestations, realities of prayer that come when we do something corporately as opposed to do something privately. I'm not in any way, shape, or form diminishing private prayer. You know, I had to drive in my car for years and hours every day worshiping God and praying by myself, okay? And it was great and it's glorious. I like praying with other people too, though. Okay? So I encourage you, find out what the scripture says. I'm open for correction, believe me. If something that I'm saying doesn't fit the Bible, then we'll change it. But if the Bible says we're to be something that we're not, then we got to be equally ready to change that as well. You understand? You know, we're going to correct and say, oh, that wasn't the Bible. Well, okay, let's change that. But what else is the Bible that we're not doing? And whether it takes 6 months or 6 years to make the shift, that isn't my concern. It's just that we're aware that our default position to go back to a former model is a slippery slope that I'm going to get off of. And I can tell you the possibilities, because the possibilities are multiple, but I'm just going to say, God, we're going to trust you to lead us. See, what I recognize is what we have is two different forms of church. Okay, one is basically synagogue worship, where one day a week people come and give their time, their alms, their worship to God, and then go about their business the rest of their day, the rest of their week, the rest of their life. Okay, the other is community, where people daily are interacting and interdependent with their brothers and sisters. And how to grow into that, I'm not sure. But that is the model. If we look at the book of Acts, and we can go to Acts just for a minute here. We'll just wrap this up in just a minute. Book of Acts, Acts 2, is a powerful book. We're probably going to look at it a little bit more. Matter of fact, if you look at those first two or three chapters in the book of Acts, you get a great picture because there's always this sort of understanding that when Jesus tells them, go to Jerusalem and wait and I'll send my spirit, that when the spirit fell, they were in a place called the upper room. And there really is not a clear delineation of that. The likelihood is that they were actually in the temple when the spirit fell. Because it said men from Jews from all over the world were there. And when they heard the commotion, they gathered around him and said, what's going on? You guys are drunk. And he said, no, this is that which Joel prophesied. And he begins to give the, these men aren't drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. But they were operating in the temple, in a building, and in a public sphere. So when the Spirit fell, those that were around, their attention was captured. And they said, wow, we've got to see what this is. Okay, now, one of the things that that synagogue worship does is it creates a once-a-week time to meet with God. One thing that a community does, if you will, is establish a lifestyle. And that's what I believe God wants us to do, to establish a lifestyle. And so exactly what it's going to look like, I'm not positive, but Acts 2:42 says this. And this is probably, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and of prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Okay, this was a lifestyle of meeting together in the temple every day and making sure that the community was being strengthened by their prayers, their presence, their worship, and in some cases, as it says there, even their physical material possessions. I know that's somebody's going, oh boy, great, we're going to be a cult. No, I'm not what I'm saying, okay? Oh boy, we're going to be something weird and freaky. No, but it is weird to be different. Okay, Jesus was weird because he was different. And so the idea of, what's it going to be exactly? Well, let's let the Lord help us determine that. But what we can't do is go back to some of these, what sound like real practical little idioms. Here's one for you. We're going to get outside the church walls. We got to make a difference. We can't be inside of a building all the time. We're going to get outside the walls. Everybody heard that one before? Okay. Beloved, you're outside the walls 6 days and 22 hours a week. Is that really what God is saying? Or is he saying, no, I want to encounter you inside the walls so that you can actually have something outside the walls? See, it sounds good to say, church is just meeting. I don't know any church that meets more than 2 to 3 hours a week inside the walls. But somebody said that, it sounded like a catchphrase, and it made a difference, and it gave us opportunity to go, I don't need to really be involved in church somewhere, because, inside the walls there, we'd be outside the walls, where are we going to be? Outside, yeah. Hello? And then the thought of prayer, that's drudgery, that's hard, and not everybody's called to pray, some people have got to be in the workplace and do other stuff. And the local church has to be, free. I'll just challenge anybody, and I'm just saying this as kindly as I can. You find the phrase local church in your Bible and compare it to how many times house of prayer is in your Bible. Local church isn't in there. So there's something that we've added to the mix that's given us, if you will, this mutation of what church is supposed to be like. And although I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I like X-Men, they're all about mutations. I'm not about a mutation when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. I want the authentic, real expression of what Jesus wants. We'll go to Isaiah 56, and we'll just look at this real quick. This is scary for me, you guys, just so you know. I might sound bold or convinced or whatever. Just understand, it's a lot easier just to do something that's comfortable for me, just like it is for you, okay? But ultimately, I got to give account to Jesus. I got to stand before him. And you and I, we're going to be together in a sense before him. And he's going to say, there was something I had in Springfield, Illinois, and you guys got connected for that purpose. How'd that go? How'd that go? Well, we had a good church meeting. Yeah, but how did the community expression of Jesus Christ that I gave you the roadmap for in the book of Acts and doing that when I called your heart and pulled you out of the other places so you could do the thing that I really wanted to do. How'd that part go? I just want to be able to say, hear him say, well done. I want to be there standing with all of you and a bunch more saying, we did the best we could at being a community that loved God, loved people, and didn't love our own lives even unto death. This is the promise. In Isaiah 56, in verse 7, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. He goes on to say, their burnt offerings, sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. I believe that's the key component that we have to believe. I believe there's joy in this. If this was going to be pain in the rear, hard to handle, drudgery that had with it no reward, I am out as fast as anybody. But if this is really what God says, that my house of prayer, one of the key components will be, I will be giving you joy in the house of prayer, then I'm all in. And I believe that's got to be the focal point that we believe. God has a greater manifestation of joy, God's delight over us, God's joy in our midst. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And if we actually decide that it is important, there is no higher mission field, there is no greater expression, there is no more ministry that's important to the Lord than the one where his house of prayer is established in our city so that his presence and his glory can dwell and the joy of the Lord can strengthen his people and shift the atmosphere over a city and over a region and express the power and love of God that so oftentimes is no longer in the church because we're so busy doing other things. If that can happen, that's a high calling. That's a good calling. That's something I can sign up for. And I don't have to go the other side of the world to do it. And I don't have to say, well, it's hard, but yeah, anything worth doing is hard. I just don't know anybody said, I got this great body by doing nothing. No, it was hard work. Okay. I got this degree because I was lazy and never studied. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, I got all my money because I was just a dirtbag and didn't have enough. No. You had to apply yourself. You had to put yourself in a position of vulnerability. You had to believe that there was a reward at the end of this journey. You had to believe that God's word is true. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And then you just sign up to go, diligently seeking is what I'm about. Because if that's 10 years or 50 years, there's a reward at the end of this thing. And in the midst of it, while I'm building the house of prayer, as I'm driving a stake in the ground, as I'm saying, God be glorified in our city in a way that you haven't been in times past up to now, we get joy in the midst of it. And there's joy in it. It's an operation of faith, and I believe that's probably the most underestimated component in what we're called to do. And that is the supernatural power of God being in the midst, where God will not resist those who are reaching in faith, believing for something more than what they can just build with their own hands. See, I was part of my journey. It was God. I don't know if I was complaining, but I kind of was complaining, I guess. When I said, God, this house was established with supernatural signs and wonders. Visitations, dreams, encounters, stuff that if you want to hear some of the story, you can. I actually recorded the history earlier this year in probably 4 or 5 night sessions, and it's an incredible story of God's supernatural power visiting me and other individuals in a profound way. And so I will not, and that's my heart's challenge, to say now that God did establish something supernatural, we're going to maintain it with our natural strength and our natural comfort. And that I can't do that in good conscience. And so I'm excited. There's more to come. You know, one of the suggestions, and I'm talking with some fathers. I want to talk to all the fathers and mothers. Is that families would be willing to do their devotions in an arena where others can join. There's strong family and strong leaders in this house that have prayer time and worship time with their children, and it's awesome. But there's others that struggle to do that. And so, guess what? You could come and get help in that, because if whoever, you know, I don't name names, say somebody does or doesn't have, but if Greg and Mary have an awesome prayer life together, and they say, guess what, we're gonna model it for you on Wednesday mornings, we're gonna be here, or Thursday mornings, we're gonna be here from 7 to 8:30, and we're gonna do our family worship and devotions. And if you want to see how we do it, and you want to join us with your family, because it's a little harder to do when you just don't have any motivation, but if I made a commitment to Greg, I have to keep it, so I'm gonna show up. And we do family devotions together. Maybe one day a week, each a different family comes in and says, I'm going to give my time to that. I know it would be a struggle. I know it would be a challenge. But I'm giving you what I guess is some of the things the Lord has put on my heart over this last month. I hope you're encouraged. You know, maybe challenged. Maybe you're thinking, I want out of here as fast as possible. And that's okay, too. Because if this isn't for you, you'll just be miserable. But if God has connected you and it is for you, and you want to grow in a community that has an expression, a genuine expression of biblical Christianity, and you believe that, though it's hard, it's what God is saying, then I want to do it with you. I want to help you do it. I want to see what God would do for people in the earth who just say yes, even though they have to do it in faith because they can't see how it's going to roll. So we good? Come on. You guys all right? Okay. So we got a promise of joy. And I believe we're going to have, if you will, a reboot, a relaunch, a next season of what's going to transpire here. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. And stand with me, if you will. We're just going to pray. And I want to prophesy today. And what I mean by that is I want to hear what God has for people here. And I want to ask you today, if you can stay for an extra 5 to 6 minutes, I really believe that God has in our midst here several people who are prophetic, several people who know how to pray. And I want to make sure that anybody today who wants to receive prayer can get prayer, whether it's for healing in their body, whether they've just never had a prophetic word before. There's people that say, I've never had somebody ever tell me what God is thinking or feeling about me. Or I don't even know what God's voice sounds like, or if God cares about me or sees me. Or I'm in a place where I'm waiting for God to speak to me about something, and but I haven't heard yet what I'm supposed to do. Any of those, and you want to receive prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up here in just a few minutes, and I'm going to ask the rest of you to just pray for them and say this simple prayer, because this is the one that works really well. God, love them through me. God, speak to them through me, and let the love of that you have for them flow through to me. And if you have a word to speak to them, I'm going to release you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you today for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, I ask that you bless those that are struggling with sickness in their body that we spoke of, Bruce and Phyllis and Jan and whoever else was on the list that I might not remember. And Father, we're thanking you right now that you are healing hearts and lives, relationships and families. Lord, we're thanking you right now, God, that your presence is the center of all that we desire or need. Lord, that your presence is where we are refreshed and renewed, where we have vision and focus, Lord, where your life flows and where our lives, Lord, are empowered. So we thank you that you increase your presence upon us. Lord, I ask that you would give us a greater hunger for your word. And Lord, that you would stir us into the place, Lord, that you are inviting us into. Lord, that you would excite us about what excites your heart. And Lord, that we would have faith, courage to receive boldly, God, the vision you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you want to receive prayer, I just want to invite you to go for it. You say, hey, I got an issue in my body. I need direction in my life. I want to hear what God thinks about me. I've never had a prophetic word. Or I've just been kind of dry lately, and I'm ready to enter into the place where I'm not dry anymore. Just come forward right now. No one's you receive prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You say, I've never really received a word from God before. What was that like? Just come forward. We're going to pray for you. Jesus, thank you right now for your freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not anybody to be hindered right now in their mind or in their soul. Lord, we just thank you for removing that blockage in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite you, if you would, come and pray for these. If you're going to hang for a while, if you've got to leave, just feel free to go ahead and take off. We're going to wrap up here. If you're going to visit with folks, just ask you to do it in the back. And anybody else that wants to receive prayer this morning? Father, we thank you now for your word, your power, your life, and your provision. Jesus. Bless each of these as they go, Lord. Bless our family and our community. God bless you guys. Have an awesome rest of the day. You're beautiful.